Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. Think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean. Everybody, welcome to Dr. Carolyn Dean Live here on YouTube, Facebook, and X. I believe we are here for our official opening now. It looks like we're recording and back with you. If this is your first time tuning in, you are in for a big treat because Dr. Carolyn Dean, with over 50 years in the natural health industry and so many different expressions of her faith and her ability, her incredible intellect, her wisdom, her compassion, and all the things that she's learned about body techniques and natural remedies and supplements. She's going to lay that all on you in the next 60 minutes. And if you're coming back, that's right, you're coming back for more, because once you get hooked on this information and understand its implications for your health, you are going to continue to come back. So welcome, welcome, Carolyn. Let's see if I can get us straightened out here.
Yeah, hi, Jenny. Yeah, we're good. I mean, it's amazing how well technology works most of the time. So
yes.
we'll just press on, and I have a mini rant. Okay, so I thought we had MAHA working for us, Make America Healthy Again. At the beginning of the year, we even went through all the MAHA tenets on our podcast, and I explained how our company is as MAHA as it gets. So we thought, okay, we're doing good. So then I wondered what... every week I kind of see what they're doing, and I really wonder what the heck is going on, because I saw this week that 70% of supermarket ground beef is really pink slime.
What?
Yeah. Listen to this. In 2018, the U.S. Department of Agriculture classified pink slime as ground meat, and it can be mixed into ground beef with zero labeling, zero disclosure. And it's made from beef trimmings, scraps that were considered waste and at most would go into dog food.
Oh.
Or it could be rendered as cooking oil. The waste is heated, spun in a centrifuge, sprayed with ammonium gas to kill bacteria, compressed into bricks, flash frozen, and sold as ground beef. So this is where we talk all the time about trying to find farmers who are growing grass-fed, free-range beef and chickens and all the rest of it, because we have no idea what's in our food anymore. As well as, number two, ketchup now has a genetically modified label.
Yeah.
The new label, it says contains bioengineered food ingredients. Great. It's got GMO high fructose corn syrup. And what we know about corn syrup, 92% of U.S. corn is bioengineered. And also if it's from sugar cane, that's mostly bioengineered sugar beets. So sugar cane, sugar beets, all can be bioengineered. Most of the ingredients there for our GMO sugars in these ketchup formulas. Plus there's a non-disclosed secret proprietary blend of natural, quotes, flavors. It's ultra processed junk food in the same red bottle. So that's a problem. I've lots of other rants later on with different articles, etc. But let's go to the book of the week. What is it? What's the men's book called, Ginny? Or are we doing a men's book or a sugar book? What are we doing?
One. This is our completion of our campaign for men in the month of June. The book is Total Body Reset for Men. This is available on Dr. Carolyn Dean's membership forum. You can go on. You can get at drcarolyndean.com. You can become a member. You can download this entire book at no charge as part of your membership. And it is an incredible resource for men and the men that you care about and the men that are in your life. We would love for you to distribute this to others. But we've been talking all month about men's health and also men's mental health. And today we're going to talk about sugar.
The sugar mental health connection no one is talking about, but we are. And this is this week's blog at drcarolyndean.com. So sugar is not just a weight problem, it's a brain chemistry problem. Our brain's one of the most metabolically active organs in the body, with our thoughts, memory, decisions, every emotional response. And this depends on an enormous amount of cellular energy. The head is 2% of your body weight on average, but it uses 20% of the body's energy. And energy means you need magnesium to make that energy. Sugar is used in the Krebs cycle in the mitochondria to make MGATP. And the body requires 28 atoms of magnesium to process a single molecule of glucose. And for fructose, fruit sugar, that requirement doubles to 56 atoms of magnesium. So every time excess sugar enters the body, it draws from mineral reserves that may already be depleted by stress, poor sleep, heavy exercise, medications, and just modern farming practices. Sugar also consumes B vitamins and zinc, the same nutrients involved in producing serotonin, dopamine, GABA, the neurotransmitters that support mood, motivation, focus, and relaxation. So if they're being used up, those moods can suffer. And sugar affects the brain, but also the immune system. Because I love this part because I just kind of stumbled upon it when I was writing my vitamin C book that will be out in the next month or two. So sugar and vitamin C compete for the same insulin-dependent transport mechanisms that allow them to enter cells. So you have to have insulin, and it onboards glucose and vitamin C and takes those molecules to the cells. If you have more sugar, the sugar will just take over the insulin transport. Vitamin C doesn't get into the cell, which means it can't take out the garbage as an antioxidant, and it can't make collagen. Then there's the yeast overgrowth brain connection. Sugar feeds yeast, and yeast produces 78 metabolic byproducts, including alcohol and aldehyde. Those compounds are responsible for hangover symptoms. So you get your brain fog, irritability, poor concentration, and fatigue. And as far as yeast overgrowth, it's antibiotics, cortisone, chronic stress, alcohol, and the high sugar diet, all encouraging yeast overgrowth. Then I talk about the gut as the second brain. Now, this is pretty interesting. Some new information here, Ginny. Approximately 95% of the body's serotonin is produced in the gut. And the gut contains an extraordinary network of more than 100 million nerve cells. And that's why we call it the second brain. And these enteric, which just means intestinal, nerve cells apparently contain 100,000 to 200,000 mitochondria. So I'm always talking about the brain neurons can have up to 2 million mitochondria, whereas the heart muscle cells only have 5,000. So 100,000 to 200,000, that's huge. It shows how much energy is being produced in the gut, which means magnesium, the B vitamins, and many other minerals are in constant turnover. So how do we rebuild minerals? Remag and remite and zinc and trace minerals, sea salt in our drinking water. To balance out the gut bacteria, we use Flora Revive and Pico Silver. We have to get the right kind of protein and make sure, if you possibly can, that's grass-fed animal protein, wild-caught fish, and restructure. Healthy fats, butter, olive oil, coconut oil. Hydration is important. Sleep is important. And for deeper protocols, you can become a member and have access to all my books. Reset the Yeast Connection, Sugar Without the Icing, Detox Your Body. And this book, I think this recipe book, we're probably selling it. I don't think it's a giveaway because it's a hard copy. The ones you're getting online are ebooks, PDFs. So that's the blog, and let's go to Ginny to see if we have any questions yet.
Yeah, we do have a question on the chat, Carolyn, and it's one that comes up quite a bit, which is if you have used antibiotics over the course of your lifetime, maybe several rounds, say, you know, over the course of 30 years or whatever an adult span would be, what would you say, Carolyn, is the state of the gut right now? Is it compromised, or how do you feel about that?
Yes, there's a recent study. I think I mentioned it, maybe not in the podcast, maybe in one of the books, that even one course of antibiotics can throw your gut off for several years. One course. And then add to that the sugar and the stress and chlorine in the water, all those things can continue the compromise of the gut.
Okay, very good. Excellent. And your remedy for that, as we just spoke about, is all the minerals, of course, and the realign with its powerful blessings and the B vitamins and methionine and taurine, and then also Flora Revive, which has that soil-based material in it that really does kind of sponsor the health of the bacteria in the gut. Is that right?
Yes, there's so much talk about the gut microbiome and what's going on there. But if you think of what I just said about the enteric nerve cells having so many mitochondria, we have to realize that those mitochondria, they're producing energy and they need magnesium and the B vitamins and other trace minerals as well that are in all our products, carry everything that we need. The Remite has all the trace minerals. The Realign has the B vitamins. So it's not just a matter of throwing probiotics into the gut to balance it out. You have to heal the gut. Healing the gut, it goes back to what's the state of your collagen. If you don't have enough vitamin C to make strong collagen, to make the intestinal lining of your gut, to make it impermeable, then that's where it's subject to yeast, mycelial yeast poking holes. Then you got your leaky gut. Then you got absorption of undigested food molecules and yeast toxins. So it's this whirlwind of complexity and activity, which I have reduced to basic nutrients that you need for all layers and levels of body function. And we go through it every week, but it's important. It's It's like you layer these nutrients, just like you're layering this information, the REMAG for 80% of known metabolic functions. That includes detox, that includes getting rid of heavy metals, that includes making vitamin D work. It includes helping to make omega-3 fatty acids work. You've got your multiple minerals. 9 of them make thyroid hormones, our REMITE. You've got your B vitamins that Ginny just mentioned. You've got your vitamin C for collagen. You've got your omega-3s with A plus E. So you have your all this fat-soluble goodness and vitamin D3, K2. It's a simple bundle that is just so effective. I constantly come across these papers and articles and podcasts. I'll get to a couple of them today. They just focus on one little nutrient and, oh, let's go into the depths of this, forgetting all the associations. And it's stupid. It's stupid science. They have no idea what they're doing.
That's so great. It is just stupid. That's so great. And it's not how the body works. And it's not even how nature works. I mean, none of your food is divided up that way and isolated that way. So it's very silly. Now, here's another question about the gut. And the assumption, the basic assumption here is that meat actually drives an acidic load in the body, and then potassium is required to balance that out. So I'll read the question in its complete form. It says, I heard that potassium may reduce the acidic load from consuming lots of red meat. How many teaspoons should someone take?
I don't know about the acidic load. What we're talking about there is that, yes, foods that cause acidity, they will pull minerals out of the bones. And that kind of leads to osteoporosis. So it just throws the minerals and electrolytes out of balance. And so I've always said, you know, take your magnesium. And yes, taking potassium is important too, because they're like co-joined twins. They work so well together. They cover a lot of the same territory. So the question comes from someone who's read an article, you know, blinder vision on potassium. It's all about potassium. Well, no, there's a lot of other stuff going on, but potassium absolutely is very important. You look at the RDA of potassium, 4,700 milligrams, huge amount. You go to our member site, get on the chronometer, C-R-O-N-O meter, and put in your daily diet, see how much potassium you're getting. And if you're not getting, you know, near 4,000 milligrams, then you look at our peak of potassium. And each teaspoon has almost 400 milligrams. And you have to think of it as being so highly absorbed that you only need a teaspoon or two a day. I wouldn't go much higher. So that's my potassium FAQ.
Very good. Outstanding response. Thank you so much. That is for Diana Orlando. And I know that she does have a concern about osteoporosis, and she's always working to the end of bringing her bones into that healthy position. But also, I know she takes REMITE and our other formulas, so she's well served in that way. Here's a question, Carolyn, from Erica. She says, my uncle has pancreatic cancer and has been on chemo. Hold on just a sec. There we go. Tumor is not shrinking, but not growing. But they may stop chemo, and I'm so afraid it will get worse quickly. Do you have any words of wisdom for me?
Well, we can't really talk about diseases. The FDA has a firm you know, grip on us about that. Even though I'm wearing the flag and I'm very patriotic, they don't believe me when I say I'm just trying to help people. Anyway, about cancer, what you do is go to danny-carroll.com. He has a free book about, what is it? What's it called, Genevieve? The fatal cancer is a misdiagnosis. Terminal cancer is a misdiagnosis. He is so convinced that cancer is caused by a conflict. And he consults with people. There's also a Dr. David Holt, and he's an osteopathic medical doctor, and he consults on total biology. Danny Carroll, German New Medicine. Dr. Holt is total biology. And they have a lot of good information. In total biology, German New Medicine, they say that pancreatic cancer is about someone suffering the conflict of an inheritance gone bad, where someone in the family has died and you're supposed to get your inheritance and you're being canceled out of getting your inheritance, that type of thing. And it can have different manifestations, and it seems to be a generalization, but sometimes it clicks right away. Otherwise, discussing this with Danny Carroll or Dr. Holt can be very helpful for just kind of lifting that weight of conflict off your body so that your body stops creating these cells which are being created in order to try to solve the conflict. The cancer is not an evil thing trying to attack a person. There is some purpose to it, but we really have to dig into it. So that's how I approach cancer. I mean, there are definitely things like high dose intravenous vitamin C, high dose selenium. There are so many of the dewormer drugs that people are talking about now. So those are the things that I personally would be researching.
Very good. Excellent. Fantastic response. Here's another question. Why do men seem to be the last ones to connect their emotional flatness, irritability, and brain fog to nutrition? Is there something purely biological? Is it cultural that men don't really go in there and think, I think what's wrong with me has to do with what I'm eating?
It's our culture, which has gone all askew lately. You know, it's boys who are told that, you know, you can eat dirt and you'll be fine. You know, be a man. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to catch little garter snakes and tease the boys with them. That's supposed to be the boys' territory. So everything is upside down. So men think they have to be strong and whatever. Then there's, well, I deserve this coffee, alcohol, and snack because I work so hard, or I'm tougher than that. And actually, I had so many patients over the years where a guy would say, well, I was in college and high school sports and I could eat anything and do anything. And now I'm sitting down at a desk and I feel horrible. I mean, even remember our dear Dr. Roby Mitchell. He was former Marine and just really gnarled it out. But when he got into medicine, he did his PhD and his MD. He was awesome. And he has passed, unfortunately. Yeah, I'll tell you his story some other time. But he said that he got into more natural medicine when he realized that his cholesterol was going up, his weight was going up, he was feeling horrible and joint problems and everything. So it took this very bright, very strong man to almost suffer a heart attack or something before he made the connection. Mm-hmm. And that is what you'll hear this all the time. Stories on X about people realizing, like, there's a Mark Kaplan. I think he was a famous, was it tennis player? And he had a heart attack at 51 and realized that everything that was being told him was a lie. He wrote a book called Unplugged. And he's causing quite a stir because you don't want people to get to the point of having a heart attack before they get the message.
Very good. Excellent. That's exactly right. Excellent. That's why they need to have good girlfriends and wives who pay attention to these things and help them out. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Final, we're going to get your opinion on this one and we'll keep going. Hydrogen machines, are they good or not?
Actually, that's, here we go. It's answered in my pros and cons of supplements, drugs, and research.
Oh, outstanding.
Put up that slide. Okay, that's so awesome that question came in. There are two big fads right now blasting through social media: hydrogen water and deuterium. I haven't really studied either of them in any detail, but basically we're supposed to drink as much hydrogen water as we can and somehow avoid deuterium. Two separate things, we think. But then, just to say, deuterium is H2, hydrogen 2, with one proton and one neutron. Hydrogen is itself, H, has one proton. So hydrogen water is good. And then they say deuterium is bad. But guess what? Hydrogen water may be delivering unknown amounts of deuterium directly to your mitochondria. So I say the lesson is, don't get hung up on the latest fads. Most fads don't withstand the test of time. Remag withstands the test of time. So there's that, Ginny. Do you have anything else or will I keep on going?
Go ahead and keep on going. We have one or two other questions, but we'll catch up to them. Keep going.
So our friend Nick Norwich, the MD, PhD, who's become a blogger, kind of biohacker type. So he was being interviewed by a neurophysiologist about omega-3s and brain health. They delve into this nutrient and the components, which are DHA and EPA. And we have an omega-3 algae that we have in our RNA reset formulas. So they were talking about the studies being kind of inconsistent, but they still like the sound of what DHA can do. So they both take high doses of them. So even though the studies are equivocal, they're, oh yeah, we're going to take it. So here are two experts in reading the science, and they hem and haw about whether the studies are valid. And really, I know research has shown that 50% of the studies out there are not valid. They cannot be duplicated. That's partly what makes them invalid. And they don't even realize that it's just plain stupid to study one nutrient at a time. They have this total tunnel vision about omega-3. They don't look at the big picture. And the big picture is their associated nutrients. Vitamin D supports the absorption and metabolism of omega-3s. Vitamin E acts as an antioxidant, protecting omega-3 fats from oxidation. Magnesium aids in the conversion of omega-3 into their active forms, just like it does for vitamin D. Zinc supports immune function and may enhance omega-3 utilization. The B vitamins help in the metabolism of fats, including omega-3s. And selenium works with antioxidants to protect omega-3s from damage. So here's what's happening in nutrient research, and here's what you have to realize. The researchers involved are university-trained in chemicals and drugs. not nutrients. So when they go on to study nutrients, they use the drug model of testing one nutrient at a time. And that negates most of the results because nutrients don't work in isolations. They're treating nutrients like drugs with their double-blind placebo-controlled studies. And reports are that at least half of them are highly inaccurate. That's what I just said about not being duplicatable. And there are a lot more reasons for failure of studies, bias, outright mistakes, implementation by students who know nothing. I go over all this in my next book, The Tarnished Gold Standard of Nutrition Research. So nutrient researchers are trained in the medical model, and their research is geared to drug therapy and managing disease. They know nothing about nutrient research to prevent disease, and that's huge. So biohackers, they cherry pick studies to support their bias and use the failure rate in medical and nutrition research to promote some, you know, some tunnel vision aspect, you know, the methylene blue and the what else is a DMSO. All these have some basis, but we're always saying if you don't have your grounding nutrients, then you'll be running off looking for cures. And in these studies, most nutrients are promoted in high doses and they're synthetic, and both over time can cause problems. And there's no attention given to keeping the body healthy with basic building blocks, which is what we do, which means people don't need to get seduced by clickbait marketing. And magnesium is the biggest factor in how things work in the body. And unless these researchers get on the magnesium train, they'll continue to hem and haw about how they can't figure out what's good and what's not good for your health. And all you folks who know about our REMAG know it's the best form to take to get all the wonderful results for 80% of known metabolic functions and 800 enzyme processes. And the last thing, there's a huge push for creatine right now. I've talked about it many times. Last week I mentioned it. February 15 this year to 2026, I did an in-depth analysis. And I think they are saying that one of the major mechanisms for its effect on the brain is BDNF. BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is something that grows new brain cells, keeps them in repair, etc. But that's one of the many functions of magnesium to support BDNF. And remember, supplemental creatine is synthetic. It's in no way formed the same way as natural creatine produced by and in your body. And these discrepancies are not being sufficiently studied or even recognized or talked about. So back to you, Ginny. Let's do some questions.
Okay, very good. One of the questions here is just about the food maps. This person is saying that they have a diagnosis of SIBO. They also have MS, and their stool test says no to candida, no parasites, no nothing, low on probiotics, but she cannot tolerate food maps and wonders if you have any advice on that level.
Well, it's interesting to know to candida, because everybody has some candida. It's a natural organism in the gut. So to me, that means the gut is quite out of balance and needs probiotics. I would work with our Flora, personally, I would work with our Flora Revive because it has natural probiotics in Saccharomyces boulardii and humic fulvic, but just stay with one capsule a day. And with MS in our Maui Reset study that we just did, we had one of our participants who thought she had MS. Now, the person you're talking about who's giving the question, they've been diagnosed. Our person wasn't diagnosed, but she found after several months of our formulas that her tingling and irritation and exhaustion, all the symptoms she had that she thought were MS symptoms, they did disappear. So I'm not saying that this could be the case with our asker, but as I said, you have to have some sort of yeast in your intestines to be in balance. So I find that interesting.
Very good. Excellent. All right. About 20 minutes left in the show. We've got to get to the articles, Carolyn, or wherever else you want to go.
Yeah. Next is the articles. First one that Rachel put up, the leading Alzheimer drug theory just collapsed under independent review. This is from Natural Health 365. This is Jonathan Landsman. He does a lot of good work. So he's reporting that for decades, researchers believed that removing amyloid plaques from the brain could slow the march toward Alzheimer's. And I'm saying they didn't say cure, just slow the progression. And as a result, billions of dollars flowed into drugs designed to clear those plaques. Now, according to 2026 Cochrane Review, now I talk about the Cochrane Review when I talk about flu meta-analysis. Flu vaccine meta-analysis showed that flu vaccines work 1 to 2% of the time. So I appreciate the Cochrane Review. This review said removing amyloid does not produce the meaningful improvements many patients hoped for. Researchers explore other contributors to cognitive decline. They're looking at chronic inflammation, blood sugar imbalance, poor circulation, environmental toxins, nutrient deficiencies, and sleep disruption. So they go into the importance of sleep to allow for the brain's natural cleanup process. They talk about supporting metabolic health, focused on healthy blood sugar levels, getting regular exercise and strength training, balanced meals. So toward the end, they finally talk about adding brain supportive nutrients like magnesium, B vitamins, but they go into the polyphenol-rich foods to help support healthy brain aging. So it's interesting. A lot of these research, in-depth research, they're finding that, oh, oops, we made a mistake. You know, what we were looking at, oh, this drug doesn't work, that doesn't work. And how many times have I said they're going back to diet, exercise, sleep, and then they kind of remember about the nutrients. Whereas I'm saying the nutrients are key. They're the first thing you look at. Nutrients, cut the sugar way back or out, and get your sleep, get your sunshine, get your exercise. So that's interesting. You know, we have areas of research that are helping us draw these conclusions. And other research, they're going into the minutiae of drugs. I'll probably get to some of those studies. But the next one, the obesity paradox, high in calories, low in nutrients. So you can imagine what that is. Despite excessive caloric intake, individuals with obesity are consistently deficient in essential micronutrients. So that's what we've got now and what's being promoted with obesity drugs. They talk about inflammation is driven by obesity, that ultra-processed foods has the danger of pulling away all the nutrients we need and affecting the gut microbiota. There's that important gut area that has all the the mitochondria in the nerve plexus. And they go into measuring low blood levels of nutrients in this population. But I think if they tested an average unhealthy population, they would come up with similar numbers. I think everybody is deficient. And yes, they mentioned the GLP drugs because they're so prevalent now. These deficiencies may be further exacerbated in GLP drug users. Marked appetite suppression can reduce both protein and micronutrient intake. They end by saying that management is multifactorial. They've created such a monster with these GLP drugs because people come back with so many side effects. What do I say? Giving people adequate nutrients is the first step, not the step after you use a bunch of drugs. The next article, beyond hedonic, H-E-D-O-N-I-C, you know, the hedonists, beyond hedonic hunger, what drives overeating. So this Medscape author makes a lot of assumptions. She says many people believe America's struggle with weight is to eat for pleasure in the absence of physical hunger. And so she says the cycle looks like the body is overeating or the person is overeating, and then they think this is a weakness or a failure, and then they try to get rigid, and then they fall off their diet, and it's a vicious cycle. I mean, it's just such kind of gobbledygook. There's a quarter truth to it that they that she's blowing up here. She says what appears to be a problem of self-control may instead reflect the predictable consequences of deprivation. And I say, blah, blah, blah. It just goes on and on, and it pulls binge eating and eating disorders into the story. And it's not really a meaningful conversation. I think it's psychobabble to make this the place to begin a conversation about being overweight. My philosophy is that anything to do with mental or physical health, you have to begin with the nutrient building blocks, and then you become happy, wholly healthy, wealthy, wise, and satisfied. I say the same thing when talking about ultra-processed food. In Dr. Kevin Hall's study, participants all ate an average of 500 extra calories when fed a nutrient-depleted ultra-processed diet. They were trying to find the nutrients they absolutely needed. The author in this article asks, if self-denial can worsen overeating and binge eating in some people, what should clinicians do? She says, unfortunately, often physicians have limited time with patients. Yeah, the 7-minute appointment. So actually, I mean, that's the crux of the whole issue. I remember one HMO doctor criticizing a colleague who was not covered by insurance and charging privately about his success. And this HMO doctor blurted out that I could be successful too if I spend an hour with my patients. So there you go. There's just no time to discuss nutrition or support patients. So when I get down to the end of the article, to the disclosures, the author is a licensed psychotherapist, certified eating disorder specialist with 2 decades of clinical experience, and she didn't tell me a thing. So my takeaway, get your nutrients sorted out first, and then you can look at the total biology of German New Medicine, the conflict basis of disease, the biological conflicts of obesity and overweight, the conflict of abandonment. There's a lot there. Maybe another time I'll go into it. The conflict of aesthetic devaluation when you look in the mirror, indigestible lack, protection after abuse. If I'm bigger, that may protect me. Identity, And in relationship, the quote would be, I'm fed up with you. So there's a lot, not psychiatric about obesity, but kind of conflict-based. And let's do this one. GLP-1 therapy, can a myostatin antibody preserve muscle? So this is a Lord suffering cats moment. You've got a drug, the Ozempic type drugs, that eat away at lean muscle. So they want to give you some sort of medication to save the muscle. So we're definitely being treated as a bag of chemicals with replaceable parts. They say, according to findings from a phase 2 trial published in Nature magazine, I mean, that's a supposedly a good scientific journal. According to findings from this phase 2 trial, a monoclonal antibody targeting myostatin reduced lean body mass loss by more than half during treatment with GLPs. These findings address a growing concern surrounding obesity pharmacology. The weight regained after stopping these drugs is primarily fat mass. So they're really trying to work on these poor muscles. And the side effects of this myostatin drug, nausea, fatigue, and headache were reported more frequently in this drug. And those are the symptoms actually of the weight loss drugs. So I will stop here so we can take the last questions and then sign off. So back to you, Ginny.
Very good. Very good. Well, Robin is in total agreement about your statement that nutrients cut off cravings because you are deeply satisfied. And of course, Savvy's wanting everybody to like the live show so that really helps with the algorithm and with YouTube and lets us know that them know that we're making valuable content. And I think that's it, Carolyn. Everybody else is just listening and mesmerized by what you're saying.
So have people noticed my flag dress? It's a flag dress.
Well, let's ask, what does everybody think about Carolyn's flag dress? I saw it. I saw the preview, but I didn't see it on, but I think it's very cute. And yeah, you've got something special coming up this weekend, not just the 250th anniversary, but you have another special thing happening, right, Carolyn?
Right. Our second store here in Wailea, the grand opening is Saturday, July the 4th. And I'll be wearing my dress and this scarf around. It's the hem from my absurdly long dress. When I buy dresses, they're like 4 or 6 inches too long. So I cut them off and make a scarf. So that's my hack, my tip of the day. Yeah, we're having an awesome grand opening, a Hawaiian blessing at 9 a.m. There are a lot of vendors going to appear in the area where we have the farmers market. It's going to be a beautiful day. So Rachel's going to play the little mini video about what we're doing with my charity, the parageniusfoundation.org charity, to which you can donate to support.
Part of what we're doing with Paragenius is helping to fund young people in their schools coming here classroom by classroom. We have a market in Wailea every Tuesday, and people don't know anything about the food or what to do with it. They're so far removed from the farm and the farmers.
I think in the modern era, we've become pretty disconnected from most things in our lives. It's really important for kids to see where their food comes from. And also, I think it's also important to see where good quality food comes from and what it takes to run something organic. You know, that's another word that's sort of thrown about, and we want it to be the case without looking into it, but seeing how it's actually grown, and how much effort and time and money and hardship that takes, I think is an important lesson.
I've gone on this tour so many times, and I learned so much every time, and this is what the children learn, and I think it brings them closer to the land, and maybe you know, we hope and pray that some of these children will become farmers.
Mahalo me ke aloha la. Mahalo me ke aloha la. Mahalo.
Yes, I always have to point out I was there that day for that tour and that interview. I just happened to hit it at the right time, but it is such a fun thing to watch the kids so fascinated, and they're underexposed and they're absolutely intrigued by everything. And Ryan's a great teacher, great teacher.
Yes, and the scene, I know it went by fast, but the scene where Ryan is holding up vegetables at a market. Well, we took over the store just behind us, and that's where we have our solid, whatever, standalone store. It's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Very, very cool. Very cool. Excellent. Okay. Do we have more articles, Carolyn, or are we caught up?
I think I have one more article. Do you want me to go for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Rachel, it's vascular etiology migraine myth. It just amazes me. They're constantly redoing these studies and finding out, oops, we screwed up, we made an error. So recent studies debunk the vascular hypothesis of migraines, highlighting the role of the hypothalamus and CGRP and migraine pathology. And they're talking about new therapies, GPANs and monoclonal antibodies. It's all too much. It's all so complex. They're targeting this and that. And so they go from one hypothesis that seems, you know, kind of vague and out of control, and they go to another hypothesis. And what I say is this CGRP receptor antagonist. Well, CGRP is a neuropeptide involved in pain transmission and vasodilation. But what we know about magnesium, it plays a crucial role in neurotransmitter function and muscle relaxation and vasodilation. Low magnesium levels can increase the CGRP levels, potentially leading to migraines. Magnesium supplementation may help reduce CGRP-related migraine frequency, but they're not looking at magnesium. They're looking for CGRP antagonist drugs. They're studying them for treatments for migraine, highlighting the peptide significance, all into peptides. Because they can patent them, I think. Adequate magnesium intake supports overall neurological health and it modulates CGRP activity. And in both of my magnesium books, the Magnesium Miracle and Magnesium, the Missing Link to Total Health, I talk about all the incredible studies done using magnesium for migraines. I mean, it's been proven. Yet they keep trying to find that magic drug that they can make their next billion off. Right, Ginny?
Yes, absolutely. The next the next goal is $1 trillion drugs. And I think Eli Lilly has one in the basket. So we'll see how it all ends up shaking up. A couple questions, Carolyn. One of them is from Debbie Phillips. I'd like to know about the Candida cleanse. When somebody starts cutting sugar and treating yeast overgrowth, they often feel worse before they feel better. Why would you say that is?
Well, you're killing yeast, and the 78 different yeast toxins just kind of flood the whole system before you get the gut healed up. And what we recommend is the vitamin C should be part of the protocol, actually, to heal up the gut. The picosilvers really does help to stop the Herxheimer die-off reaction. So it's a whole protocol that we have in Reset the Yeast Connection. That's one. That's my yeast book that you can get on the member website.
Very good.
Yep.
Very good. The Reset the Yeast Connection book is now the Sugar Toxicity Day. But you can always check in with customer service whenever you're using the products, have a question about a protocol. Our customer service team is always available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can write your email, questions at drcarolindean.com, or you can call the team. They also have a chat line. There's millions of ways to get a hold of them. Our customer service team is fantastic. We don't talk about them enough. They've been with us for many, many years. They are super knowledgeable. They've read all Carolyn's content. They participate in the radio shows. They know exactly what time it is, and you can feel confident asking these kind of questions to them as well. Final thing, Carolyn, Nancy on Facebook is saying, love the patriotic representation, Carolyn. And I also love your background photo. I would love to be visiting where you are, and I think it would be awesome if I could come and visit the farm and all. I probably won't, but it would be neat if I could. So I think that's a beautiful comment. Thank you, Nancy.
Well, that's why I'll bring you videos. I'll do more. It's just this picture behind me. I took that picture. That is a flower that, what's it called? Oh, my gosh.
The bromeliad?
Yeah, is that a bromeliad? It's awesome. I mean, I live in such a beautiful world. I'm so happy. So happy.
Absolutely. Well, and Dr. Carolyn Dean's world includes all of her wisdom, and you can find that at drcarolindean.com. And you can go there to get all of her information, her podcasts, her books, her interviews, her learning courses, and soon you're going to be able to see the Maui Reset Study in all of its clinical details and get all kinds of information on the protocol, how it works, and how you can work toward anti-aging and longevity, just as Carolyn does. You may already be taking one or two of the products, but you may not be taking them all the way they are needed to be taken in order to achieve the same result. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. Also, rnareset.com is where you can get those products. They've all been curated by Carolyn, designed by her. They have all of her wisdom in every single bottle and in every single product. She uses them all herself. We all use them, and we're all fabulous. So I think that's the main endorsement for that. And then, of course, picopets.com. We want you to keep your pets healthy. And, of course, the Paragenius Foundation, which we did talk about today. And you can make a donation there if you want to support the work on the farm, the future farmers, or the Maui storm recovery, because there was a lot of damage to the outer buildings there on Maui, and they need to be fixed and repaired. So happy 250th birthday, USA, I guess are our final parting words. What a country, and what we've lived through, and what we're going to continue to do together. The magic will never end. I don't think so. Not here. No.
Yeah. Aloha and mahalo, everyone.
Yes. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the Doctor of the Future. Become a member of drcarolindean.com. and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.